Welcome back. You're here with Dave and Faisal on 770 CHQR and More Than Money. Faisal, we've got to talk about this election that's coming up and, you know, is it going to crush people's retirement? We have had so many questions about this. There's so much fear out there.
And this is a very interesting time because we're going through this pandemic.
Pandemic on top of it.
Second, third waves. Europe's taken off in their numbers. Right. Shutdown of the economy. How is the stock market going to survive all of this?
Right.
Right. So we want to have some of the smartest people on our show. We've been doing this for a couple weeks now. We're going to bring in another one on our show to talk about how do you make money or where do you invest when it comes time to an election, the pandemic? What kind of processes should you put into your portfolio?
Yeah, so we've got David Fingold joining us. He's a vice president and senior portfolio manager of Dynamic Funds. David, first of all, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for having me on.
So there's this old saying that goes, you know, when we go through a recession or a pandemic or a crisis, that the economy is terrible, except for the units of the economy that aren't. And I want to talk a little bit about that because it speaks to, I think, process and whatnot. But I would like to start the conversation, David, at the sort of at the beginning of the year. And I want to bring some context to our listeners, to, you know, the average investor, because the, you know, volatility is the friend of people who understand the value of what they own, but it's definitely the enemy of those investors that don't know the value. And so I'd like to get your perspective on how you were positioned coming into the year this year, not knowing that we were going to have a pandemic. And then we can sort of walk through the year and some of the things you've done. And then ultimately, maybe in the next segment, we can address the election and how that's going to affect everybody's portfolio. So maybe just start at the beginning of the year. Give us a sense of where you saw value, how you were positioning, and then what the impact of the pandemic was.
Well, I'd say, first of all, at the beginning of the year, we were bullish. And there was every reason to be bullish simply because you had a whole bunch of pent-up demand being created because a lot of investment decisions were put off in Europe because of Brexit. You had a lot of investment decisions put off because of the trade war with China, so companies didn't know if they should be building their next factory in Mexico or in the United States or in China or Thailand. So we're trying to get some resolution about tariffs and about trade, and it created a lot of pent-up demand. Then bad things happened, and I think there's a lot of focus on the pandemic, but it's really only one of three things that happened. So, yes, we had a pandemic with lockdowns, and that caused industrial production to fall more than it has any time since the Great Depression. So, obviously, there was a reaction to that that was necessary, which was temporarily to move away from cyclical businesses because the economy was slowing and to be more defensive. For instance, to invest in healthcare. These has a very strong long-term record of outperformance, plus has outperformed every bear market. But two other things happened during March. You had a price war on oil between Saudi Arabia and Russia. And while energy isn't a lot of global market capitalization, it's a large part of the global economy. And the banks have lent a lot of money to oil and gas companies. And then the third piece was that interest rates, I mean, started going to zero. In fact, in many parts of the world, they went negative. And that's negative for financial institutions. Our reaction was back away from anything exposed to energy, back away from financial services because of the low rate environment. But then, as you know, things bottomed at the end of March, the beginning of April. You know, the obvious implication of the biggest reduction in industrial production, you know, since the Great Depression is that actually the base of comparison is very, very easy, that any improvement in the economy would be showing strong growth. So, you know, we saw the Fed step and stimulate. We saw governments around the world step in and stimulate. It was clearly the time to be optimistic because everybody else was pessimistic. So we bought high-quality cyclical businesses while they were on sale. Now, stock market has since then gone to a new record. In the last 100 years, it's only gone to a new record during a recession three times. And all those three times, the returns were above average over the next 12 months. The market is trading as if we're exiting a recession. Cyclicals are beating defensives. So we're really in the sweet spot probably for 9 to 12 months here because that time when you exit a recession is the best time to invest.
David, let's talk about what changed through the pandemic and even now, because was there some of the names in your portfolio, and let's talk about the U.S. side or even the global side of your portfolio, were names changing rapidly through this? Like, were you shifting around, or were you already invested in some format that let you enjoy this entire run-up that you've seen in the performance of your funds?
I would say, first of all, that factually there have been a number of changes. But I would also say that it's important to understand that I'm not really tracking it. I mean, we look at the portfolio every day and we say, you know, when we look at a company, is it fit for purpose? Is it a sound investment with the information we have? And then we're emotionless about this. So when people look at who the most challenged businesses have been this year, you know, people call them the COVID losers. Those businesses include, for instance, office buildings, shopping malls, airlines, cruise lines, the retailers that could not make the transition to selling online. Those businesses did poorly this year, but they were also doing poorly last year and the year before. The trends that we have seen where people increasingly use less of those goods and services, those trends have been in place for a long time. And because those were poor trends, we were never exposed to them. You know, and I will say that when we went shopping, some of the businesses we added to were the ones where we're very pleasantly surprised about their ability to adapt to this environment, that they were tested in fire, trial by fire, and they were able to engage their clients however they needed to. If they couldn't visit their clients, could they sell remotely? If clients couldn't shop their store, could they ship to them via, you know, internet catalog retailing? And you notice with the surviving businesses, they were the ones that either led in those disciplines before or were able to adapt during. And change comes. I mean, people like to talk about what went on this year is unprecedented. And I don't want to sound in any way insensitive to what happened this year, but, you know, we've had interest rates dive to incredibly low levels. You know, it's happened several times over the last 10 years, and interest rates were very, very low during the 1930s and 40s. We've had price wars on oil before. There was a price war between the same thing between Saudi Arabia and Russia during the oil glut, you know, which bottomed, I want to say, in 1985 or 86. And as far as pandemics are concerned, I mean, we certainly, you know, can look at the history of what happened with the stock market during the Spanish flu, but we can also look at the Hong Kong flu. These things have happened before, as have wars. Unfortunately, things happen from time to time, and good businesses are going to be structured in such a way that when the world changes, they're structured to survive it. You know, what you look for ideally, of course, is a business that not only survives when bad things happen, but it actually shows their strength and they get stronger.
That's right.
And in that case, I draw attention to some of our software companies, which were natively cloud computing companies, because there was always a debate, should a business transition from on-premise software to cloud-hosted software? Now there's no debate, because a lockdown might stop you from getting your own office, but the cloud keeps on going. So the argument for cloud computing has become much stronger, you know, having seen the adversity, and nobody's going to argue in favor of on-premise computing ever in the future. It's going to die faster than it was already dying.
That's great. You know, we do have to go to commercial break. This is a good segue to talk about coming after the break. We're going to talk about some key things like the election and invest if you're a Biden fan or a Trump fan and stuff like that. But we're going to talk about how this type of structure, this type of discipline actually can benefit you through your retirement. And we're going to have our online webinar. That's on Tuesday, November 17th, 7 p.m. live online. You need to register. So go to morethanmoneyradio.com. That's morethanmoneyradio.com to register.
Okay, if you want to know how to position your portfolio for the upcoming U.S. election, stick around after the break. You're on 770 CHQR and More Than Money.